I didn't know if it came from a dream or a nightmare, a dimly remembered fairy tale or a half-heard history lesson. But as soon as I saw it, I recognised that house. And Elderwood recognised me. The map was useless. Every route led to a dead end. Nothing for it but to drive back into town. The first pub we found, Maggie stopped for directions. The landlord all but exploded. Elderwood. The very name made him spit. An ancient specimen propping up the bar agreed to sketch out the way for the price of a pint. Back in the car, Maggie cursed the old drunk when the road he'd set us on yielded to thicket, boughs and brambles clattering against the windscreen. It seemed that even summer had forsaken us out there. Those extra daylight hours devoured by tanglewood and gloom. Then we rounded a bend onto a clearing and found ourselves skirting a high stone wall, its parapet obscured in the darkening sky. A pair of iron gates stood open for us, the first luck we'd had on this journey. Through the murk shimmered the greenery of pleached limes meeting over a driveway. We drove along the arbour's twists and turns until it stopped abruptly before a mass of shadow and stone. Details of gables, chimneys, windows cohered into the image of a house. "Well," said Maggie, "isn't that something?" I didn't answer her. I still hadn't forgiven her for just turning up at St. Breeders and dragging me away, not even talking to me about it first. Don't know how she got that one past the nuns, but after half an hour she stomped out of Sister Perpetua's office telling me to pack my bags. Hard on her heels came Perpetua herself, face on her like a squeezed pimple, snarling at me not to keep my mother waiting a minute longer.